This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The military has become increasingly open to service members of different gender and sexual identities. In 2011, the military gave gay, lesbian, and bisexual troops permission to serve openly. In 2015, it opened all combat positions to women. And just last year, the Obama administration told transgender troops that they could serve openly as well. Now, that might change. In July, President Trump tweeted a ban on transgender troops, and the White House is expected to send a memo with further details in the coming days. All of this news has many trans troops and veterans wondering about their fate. Steve Walsh is a military reporter for KPBS and a correspondent with the American Homefront Project. He's been reporting on transgender veterans, and he joins me now. Steve, welcome to the State of Things.
Hi, Frank. How's it going?
Going well. I'd like you to take us back a bit before the tweet and essentially tell us where things stand now with transgender troops in the U.S. military.
So I dealt mostly with vets, but what I can tell you about active duty is, as you were saying, that the Obama administration, Ash Carter, opened up the services to transgender vets, allowing them to serve openly for the first time. That was in 2016. And there was a deadline of this July, which for the military to actually come up with a formal policy to state like how they would recruit and then incorporate transgender troops going forward. Secretary of Defense James Mattis initially asked for an extension of that. And then on July 26, the president tweeted out that they would not be allowed to serve in the U.S. military. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Now, there are some details that have been making their way to the press about a forthcoming White House memo that would clarify and amplify what was in that tweet. What do we know, at least from the news reports, about what the White House is recommending?
Right. We've upgraded from a tweet to a leak. So what we know about the leak is that it looks like Secretary of Defense Mattis is going to have some discretion over who is allowed to remain in the military. It seems like they will be barring people from enlisting who are transgender. And the key seems to be deployability. Can this person function in a combat zone? Can they function aboard ship for months at a time? But it still leaves tremendous unanswered questions. And you have a lot of people who are mid-career who, in fact, came out over the last year and said that they were transgender, began receiving things like hormone therapy. And now the question is, what do you do?
Yeah, a lot of questions for people on active duty. And as you say, you've been focusing on veterans, and there's a lot of uncertainty in that community as well. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, I wanted to get a sense of, so we know what was happening on active duty, and I wanted to get a sense of what's going on at the VA. And actually, I wanted to get a sense of just how the VA had been handling this situation. And it's quite different from the active duty. Basically, after Don't Ask, Don't Tell ended in 2011, the VA sort of really got its act together. They started, they created an LGBT health program in 2012. In 2011, they had their first transgender policy. And in 2013, they issued a 13-page national directive, which outlined A, B, C, and D, what the expectation is for every VA in the country. And now they have these LGBT coordinators at each VA in the country. In fact, I talked with Jerry Muse, the one in San Diego.
Let's hear what she had to say.
Certainly, coming out now to a provider, we encourage that. You know, it's more like do ask, do tell, because we're really wanting people, in part because it's important for a transgender veteran to come out, because our health screenings and their health care needs are based on their birth sex. Because remember, a transgender a woman may still need a prostate exam, and a transgender man may need breast screening and gynecological exams. And so it's important for us as a healthcare facility to understand not only the current needs of our transgender veterans, but also what are their healthcare needs and are we addressing them appropriately.
So that's Dr. Jerry Muse, an LGBT coordinator for the San Diego VA. I'm talking with American Homefront correspondent and KPBS military reporter Steve Walsh. Give us the scope. How many veterans are we talking about, or do we know?
Oh, well, see, that's the question. There are numbers out there, but there's not a tremendous amount of agreement. What I can tell you, in San Diego, they serve 70 openly transgender patients. In 2013, the VA put out numbers saying that they felt they served about 2,300 transgender patients. But if you look at certain studies, including one out of UCLA School of Law, they say that there could be as many as 134,000 vets out there who are transgender from all services. And the folks I talk to, I mean, these are, now keep in mind, you couldn't serve openly until last year, so everyone else came out after they were in the service. And, of course, not everybody's being served by the VA. So this is a very hard group to get a handle on, and it's a very hard group to track.
But some of the concern around transgender troops, anyway, has to do with the cost of their hormone therapies and other treatments. Now, the Pentagon and the VA have separate budgets. What do we know about how much these treatments and all these therapies are costing the military and the VA?
Well, so we have estimates of what they might cost the active duty military of anywhere between $2.4 million to $8.4 million each year. This is out of a budget that's well over $1 billion. So it's less than 1% of the Pentagon budget. The VA, they were very helpful at the San Diego level. They were a little less helpful at the national level. So I don't have wonderful figures of how much they spend on hormone therapy and some of these other treatments. But I will say, for the most part, and this is the point that the veterans themselves are making, they mostly need the same services that any other vet, the colon screening, all these other things. It's not the things that are geared specifically to transgender vets. And also the things that the VA offers, like speech pathology, those things are the same things that are offered to a stroke victim or any vet suffering any other ailment.
And in this period of uncertainty about what's going to happen next, it leaves transgender veterans like Kristen Dancer, one of the transgender veterans you talk with a lot of questions.
I don't know if that means that, based on his tweets, whether we're all going to get kicked to the curb and we have no place in the VA or in any type of military services. So it's extremely disheartening and upsetting that he's just decided, oh, well, we're done with this.
That's Kristen Dancer, a transgender Navy veteran. I'm here with American Homefront correspondent and KPBS military reporter Steve Walsh, who got that interview and talked with her. Now, the White House memo explains that Defense Secretary James Mattis can consider service members' ability to deploy in deciding whether or not they can still serve in the military. So that could mean a lot of individuals might be newly discharged, right? Tell us about the impact of that.
Well, yes, that's the question. And Kristen gets all of her health care. She basically, the VA does everything all the way up to surgery, does not do any sort of transition surgery, but then they'll do all of the aftercare. But when it comes to the questions of like what they might provide or what might happen, there's a lot of concern that, yeah, you'll see a lot of folks coming out that could be dismissed from the military rather abruptly. There could be maybe hundreds of vets we're talking about that come out all at once. And the VA has always struggled with influx of vets. The VA is saying that they can handle whatever the active duty throws at them, though some of the service organizations like the Transgender American Veterans Association, they're worried that they may be left to do a lot of the sort of basic things like the sort of job training and figuring out benefits. And they may have to be the ones to reach out if the military starts releasing people too quickly.
Well, and as you said, the VA did respond quickly and efficiently to a potential change in policy. So if we're going to serve transgender patients who are veterans, we better figure out how to do this. And within a relatively short period of time, we're able to do it. It's the sudden influx of patients that would burden any system, of course. Which brings us to the point that the VA can be in the vanguard of some of the treatments, some of the therapies, particularly when they're mixed with mental health care, PTSD, and some of the other sort of normal therapies. And again, if things change, I suppose that takes them out of the loop. They're no longer players in the research and development of this field.
Right. So we don't know if anything at all will change at the VA or if everything will change at the VA. Obviously, when the president talked about not allowing people to serve openly, the cost became a question. That could be something that boils down to the VA, which had been very open up until this point. At one point last year that the VA was considering offering these transition surgeries, they decided in the end not to. Though Medicare decided they would offer those surgeries beginning in 2014. So there are all sorts of places throughout the government right now, the federal government, where these services are being paid for. And I don't know, is that going to be will some of those things be in jeopardy? We just haven't seen enough of the policy to be able to say.
So what should we look for moving forward?
Oh, so what we're going to see an actual policy, I would assume, at some point. I mean, up until this point, after those tweets came out, both the military and the VA were very clear that nothing at all will change. Everything will stay the same until there's an actual policy direction. Now we're seeing some hints at what that is going to look like. But there's still a number of unanswered questions. Also, there's the whole notion of whether or not there might be lawsuits following all this. Once you allow someone to serve openly and then decide abruptly that they're not allowed to serve openly, what does that do for someone's civil rights?
All right. Steve Walsh, military reporter for KPBS in San Diego and a correspondent for the American Homefront Project. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Frank. I enjoyed it.
You can find links to his reporting and all of our reporting on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, rethinking humanity in the Anthropocene epic. We'll explain all that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.